Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. We've come to the last portion of this chapter. Jesus' encounter with one individual. And Charles Spurgeon preached 8 sermons on this passage. And since I'm about 1/4 of the man that he was, maybe, I'm going to preach 2, maybe. We'll see. At least today, and the Lord willing, I'll address it again. There's too much here to not see. So may the Lord open our ears and our eyes to see this amazing experience of Bartimaeus. He's called Blind Bartimaeus, or the contemporary young guys call him Blind Bart, but I'm going to just stick with Bartimaeus. It is really an amazing encounter, and it has to do with hearing and seeing. That first hymn we sang, Praise Ye the Lord the Almighty, hymn number 13, had a phrase in it, All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Hast thou not seen, hearing, seeing? Have our ears been unstopped? Have our eyes been opened to see the greater invisible reality? It's invisible to the outer ear and it's invisible to the physical eye. The greater realities of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for the most needy, the most desperate person there is, the greatest social outcast. He can save the up and outers, the rich, Joseph of Arimathea. He can save the down and outers, the outcasts, the beggars, the blind ones, the crippled ones. He loves to save all kinds of people. So let's read Mark 10, 46 through 52. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. We have some blind people here today. Are you blind? You say, no, I can see you right now as I'm looking at you speaking. I'm not talking about that kind of blindness. I'm talking about the blindness of the mind and the blindness of the heart. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Reading together the Word of God. Mark 10, 46. And they came to Jericho, that is, Jesus and His disciples, and a great crowd was following Him, was with Him. Is this the first time he'd been in Jericho? Not at all. Not at all. He had been there numerous times. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Here's one citizen in Jericho that's an upright citizen. He's interested in Jesus. Maybe he wants his daughter to be healed. And he's fixing to go to Jesus or speak up, perhaps. And this blind man, this beggar, interrupts him and cries out. So perhaps this guy says, shut up, you old fool! He's not interested in you. Many, it says, rebuked him, telling him to be quiet. What did he do? But he cried out all the more, Their rebuke was His invitation to keep crying out more. He could have been intimidated to be quiet, couldn't he? Peer pressure is an amazing thing, isn't it? It wasn't for Bartimaeus. He continued to cry out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. Literally, as He was walking, He stopped and He stood still. That's what it means. He stood still. The cry of a desperate, needy heart will get the Lord's attention. He will stand still. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." Oh, the fickleness of humanity. They were before a minute ago telling him to shut up, and now they change their tune. They jump on the Jesus bandwagon. "Hey, Bartimaeus, I'm sorry I said for you to shut up. Take heart, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, he couldn't see where he was going, but he apparently was following the voice. Perhaps people took his arm, were taking him to him. But he throws off the cloak. He throws off the only thing of value that he had. Probably slept in it. They say these cloaks were the heavier outer garment. People, especially very poor people, it was all they had to keep them warm. It was the one thing of value. He throws it off and springs up and comes to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him in the way or on the way. The healing of a blind man. This was the last public miracle recorded in Mark's Gospel. Now, there were more private miracles later. Remember, Jesus cuts off the soldier's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane and he sticks it back on his head. That's more of a private miracle. Mark here is recording the last public miracle because they're on their way to Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. The Lord's going to mount a donkey and He's going to enter Jerusalem to the praise and the hosannas of the crowd. So this is the last public miracle the Lord Jesus Christ did. His signs and His wonders to confirm His identity, to display His glory, end here with Bartimaeus. The blind eyes and the hearing ears of blind Bartimaeus. Now, this account is found in Matthew 20. It's also found in Luke chapter 18. The setting is what city? Jericho. Jericho, the great historic city there in the Middle East, very famous in its history. It's 5 miles west of the Jordan River. It's about 7 miles northwest of the Dead Sea. And it's 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So it's a journey by foot. It's a journey by donkey or by horse, but it's about 18 miles from Jerusalem. An important place. Herod, for instance, had several palaces in Jericho, and it was there that he returned to at the end of his life, and he died there in Jericho. Jericho was an important location for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was here several blind men, the gospel show us, were healed. It was here that Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house and said, "Today salvation has come to this house." It is here that the story of the Good Samaritan, a man went up on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's the setting of the story of the Good Samaritan. And so Jesus is making his way through Jericho again. And a large crowd, a big crowd following him to get near him, to see if he's going to teach, to see what he's going to do. Perhaps some are desperate to get help themselves. And here develops, by the initiative of the blind man, here develops this amazing encounter of Jesus with blind Bartimaeus. He's not crippled, he can walk. He's not mentally handicapped, he's sharp and he can think. He is not mute, he can speak. He's not deaf, he can hear. But there's one thing wrong with him. He's blind. And he has become a professional pauper, a professional beggar. When I was in Jerusalem 30 years ago, in the summer of the 70s, I saw beggars. They're still there in Jerusalem. They're on the streets. Matthew's record, surprisingly, doesn't mention Bartimaeus. In fact, Matthew doesn't mention one beggar. He mentions two. There were two here. We won't go back to Matthew to read it, but Matthew records that two beggars, and he names neither one of them, call out to Jesus for mercy, and he heals both of them. So Bartimaeus is not the only one that's here, but Mark focuses on just him. He gives his name. And he not only gives Bartimaeus his name, he gives Bartimaeus his father's name. So Christian history says that this family, they became prominent. They became a central place in the early Christian church. That's why Mark mentions both names. So Mark is going to focus on one of these beggars, even though Jesus heals both of them. And he's going to show us Jesus dealing with this one man. It's interesting. Bartimaeus is the only person that was healed in the Synoptic Gospels whose name is given. Now, John mentions some, Lazarus and others, but Bartimaeus is the only one in the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke who's healed, whose name is recorded. So he's central. It's important. What do we know of Bartimaeus? What do you know about him? Well, we know a couple of things, don't we? He's the son of Timaeus. We don't know much about him. But we know two prominent things about him. And that's what we want to look at today. What two things do we know about Bartimaeus? Any of you children could name these, couldn't you? He was blind, and he was a beggar. A blind beggar. This is what Mark begins to tell us about him. And we also notice that Jesus is passing by, and unlike Zacchaeus, Jesus there stopped, looked up at Zacchaeus and addressed him, and says, "Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to your house." Jesus didn't do that with Bartimaeus. It's all on Bartimaeus to initiate things. Jesus is passing through, there's a crowd, there's a social atmosphere, there's noise, there's excitement, there's talking. And Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside in his mundane routine, doing every day what he normally does. And he initiates wanting help. What was his condition and his plight? I've already stated them. And we know the application. First, he was blind. He didn't have partial sight. He wasn't like the man who Jesus touched once and suddenly some light began to come through and he could see men as trees walking. No, that wasn't Bartimaeus. Completely blind. He had no eyesight. At night, when he closed his eyes in darkness, and when he opened them in the morning, and a bright morning, it was all the same to him. Darkness. Complete, utter darkness. You know, you've probably done it, as I have, closed your eyes temporarily at times to try to see what it's like to be blind. And I've even tried to walk through my bedroom. And even though I know where things are, it's an intimidating thing. And so, to be blind would have been an amazing experience. He probably had never seen his mother's face, though he had touched her face to feel the shape of it. Never seen a sunset. Didn't know what colors were, the changing colors of the season. He didn't know when there was a ditch near him that he could stumble into. He didn't know when there were dangers physically around him. He didn't know the beautiful reality of watching a butterfly. I came out my porch the other day, and on our bush, there was a butterfly, brightly colored, about this big. And Linda said, "Why didn't you catch it?" And I just thought, well, you know, I could have, but I was just looking at it, enjoying it. And then it fluttered off. Bartimaeus never saw the beauty of a butterfly or the hill or a bird in flight or looking up at the night stars. Blackness and blindness was his world. And you and I know that it is our world too today. Our planet is inhabited by blind people. Not physical blindness, though they are out there, but those who have the spiritual condition which is a type and a symbol of Bartimaeus' physical condition. People who are blind to their true condition. The Lord Jesus came to open the eyes of who? The blind. He came to cause blind eyes to be able to see. People who are blind to their true condition, because the Bible says that sin and the God of this world has done what? Has blinded the minds of unbelievers. That they would be blinded to seeing the glory that is in the face of Jesus Christ. Satan has fastened a thorough, gripping blindfold over the eyes of the minds of every lost person. Every lost person wears a spiritual blindfold. They cannot see spiritual truth or perceive it in any way accurately. They can't see some things at all. And some things that might come through reason and conscience and intellect, it's blurry to them. They do not see it. Spiritual blindness grips every person who is outside of Jesus Christ. You tell them about the glories of a Savior, and they cannot see it. There's no attraction there to them. You quote them John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." They can't see the promise of God at all in that. And there's not even any attraction. You read them the beauties of the Sermon on the Mount or Isaiah 53. No sight. That doesn't mean anything to them. Man's plight and man's true condition. Every soul outside of Christ is blindness. Spiritual blindness. Remember in John chapter 9, Jesus healed a blind man in the synagogue. The man said to the man after he healed him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And what did the man say? "Lord, who is He that I could believe in Him?" And Jesus says, "You've seen Him. You're looking at Him. He's the one talking to you right now." And then Jesus' incredible words, He said this, "For judgment I came into this world that those who do not see might see. And those who see may become blind." Now just think of that. He came to give the blind sight, and He came to give the seeing blindness. What does that mean? What did the Pharisees say when they heard that? "Are we blind too?" What Jesus said. If you were blind, you would now have no guilt. But because you say, we see, your guilt remains. Every sinner has to become blind. They have to step back and say, you know what? I know nothing about God. I don't see anything clearly. I don't know. I am ignorant of God. I don't know Him. I don't see the truth. I don't understand any of it. I am spiritually blind. Then and only then can the Lord Jesus Christ give that person sight. But if you think you see, your guilt remains. You have to become blind to get spiritual vision and understanding. Which means you come to the end of yourself and you say, I can't see anything on my own. I can't figure it out. I can't understand God. I can't find my way. I don't know. I am greatly in need. I am a blind person. Has your heart ever said that about your spiritual condition? What did John Newton say? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Spiritual blindness. Kind, decent mothers all around us are blind. Good, honest neighbors are blind. Good coaches, conservative and liberal politicians are blind. Bankers and doctors and high school teachers and college professors, creative artists, they all have spiritual blindness. Philosophers like Christopher Hitchens, his eyes now have been opened because he died. Scientists like Stephen Hawking, blindness covers our society in every realm, every nationality, every country, every social and economic level of living. From the worst in the gutter to the highest in the White House or Washington or Parliament in London. H.G. Wells tells the story of a mountaineer, a mountain man, a climber, an explorer, who crossed a remote mountain range that no one had ever crossed, and he descends into an unknown valley no one had ever been in before. And he was astonished to see people living there, one tribe of people. And then he realized everyone living there was blind. They were all blind people. And they functioned in their blindness. And so the mountaineer lived among them for a while. And he began to talk to them. And they welcomed him talking. But after a while, after a few weeks, they began to grow tired and then even angry of his talk about colors and blue skies and the stars. They got weary of him appearing to them, being superior to them, because he was talking about things that he said that he could see and that they couldn't. Well, they decided he was crazy, and the leaders formed a plot to, they better deal with him because this guy's dangerous. We better get rid of him. Well, when he realized that they were going to be after him, he slipped past them, got away, and he went back over the mountain to return to the land where people could see. Which land do you live in? Do you live in the land of blindness and you cannot see spiritual reality at all? It's boring to you. It's unattractive. There is nothing about God or Christ or the Bible or worship or fellowship. And when Christians partake of these things, you're blind to it and it's unattractive to you. Do you live in the land of blindness, or do you know you're blind and you know they see and you need to be in the land where people see? That's what Bartimaeus wanted. He was tired of his blindness. He wanted one thing. We'll talk about that, God willing, next time. But he was blind and he lived there. But not only was he blind, we know that he was a beggar, impoverished. He was a professional, and every day he went there, did someone lead him? Did he learn to get to his spot with a walking stick? He didn't have a seeing eye dog. Somehow he got there, and somehow, probably the same place, he was begging by the roadside. This was a busy travel road, the road through Jericho. And he was there every day. He was wanting some pennies. Every day, he was hoping someone might give him a fresh biscuit or a small loaf of bread. He was a pauper. He was impoverished. He owned one thing, this cloak, his outer cloak. That's what he wore every day. He had to wear it in the winter. Perhaps he made it his pillow at night or his covering. But he was impoverished, nothing but his cloak, begging for pennies, just surviving as a man who was a beggar. There was nothing he could do. He had nothing to sell. He had no ability socially to earn any standing, to gain any merit in anyone's eyes, despised by the Jerichoites, a social outcast, utterly dependent on one thing. What was it? Mercy. Pure mercy. Bartimaeus was dependent as a beggar on mercy. Have you and I ever truly seen ourselves spiritually that way before God? Do you have something about yourself that will gain God's approval, merit, or that will impress Him? Bartimaeus wasn't going to walk in one day to the town hall of Jericho where the city council was meeting, and he wasn't going to be able to say, "You know, guys, I want to serve on this council. I can bring some clout to your social plans for improving your..." No. He had nothing to impress anybody with. We are that way. Can you and I do something to gain our spiritual sight? No. Can we make some effort to find God or to persuade Him, get Him to take attention, to pay attention to our impressive characteristics that He might like if He sees how quality they are? Our pedigree, our history, our education, our intellect, our sincerity, our family background, our good works, our good efforts, the degrees we've earned, the work experiences we've gained, our skill set, who we know, the names we can drop. Can we impress God with anything? Can we gain anything based on anything about us? What could Bartimaeus do but beg? Children, listen. If you're ever going to know Christ, you have to become a beggar. You have to beg Him for mercy. Notice that's what Bartimaeus did. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." His candidacy for receiving a miracle and salvation was he had to do the only thing he could, and that was ask for mercy. He had done it every day. That's what he was good at. We have to ask for mercy. We have to beg and plead for mercy. Christ hears and responds to, He will stand still to any of those that apart from works, apart from effort, apart from human achievement or human contribution, adding anything, the soul that will plead for mercy as a beggar will get the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 47. Here's where it started. Verse 47 says this, "And when," speaking of Bartimaeus, "when he," what? "Heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth." The hope started at the point, not of his seeing, but of his hearing. He heard something. It was his hearing. He couldn't see it all, but he could hear. Listen, you might be here today, and spiritual things are a blur to you, or blackness. You don't see anything and understand anything spiritually, but you hear some truth. What you hear, the truth that's communicated to you, what you hear every week, what you hear once in a while, what you hear from this sermon, what you hear from this book, Bartimaeus could only hear. He couldn't see anything. But that was sufficient. He had never seen anything. He had never seen one of Christ's many miracles. He had never seen the power of God displayed. He had never seen the joy and the excitement of those around him when Christ had healed someone. He could only hear. And all you've got is your hearing. What have you heard God say? What have you been impressed with when truth has come to you and it's entered these ears and it's centered in your mind and the truth has come to you through your ears? Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing, not by sight. Faith comes by hearing. When God speaks truth and it impacts your thinking because you heard it enter your ears. If I said to David, "I love you," he just heard something that resonated with truth that entered his mind that he believes in his heart. But I could say, he didn't get anything out of that. I had to say it. You got to hear it. You got to hear truth. It's the hearing ear that brings the gospel reality to us. Bartimaeus never had seen anything. He had only heard. He had heard reports. He had heard about healings. He had heard truth about this, who this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was. He had heard so much, he had some real knowledge, that what did he address him as? "Jesus, thou son of David." That was not a title that very many people attributed to Christ. He said, "This is the anointed descendant of David, God's Messiah." Here's a pitiful, poverty-stricken beggar, a nobody who's sitting by the road, and he has this knowledge of Jesus of Nazareth because he's heard it. And when he heard it, he began to believe it. He not only heard that this was a Messiah, and he believed in his heart. He's sitting there with that knowledge in his heart that he's heard. Not only that, he had heard about the healings. And he started crying out because he believed through the hearing of truth that this man could heal him of his blindness. He believed it. And that's why he cried out. Do you believe Christ can save you? Then cry out. Beg Him, ask Him, come to Him. Do you believe He can do for you what you would like for Him to do spiritually? That's what He asked Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? What would you like for Him to do for you? Children, if your parents ask you tonight at bedtime, what would you like the Lord Jesus Christ to do for you? What do you want Him to do for you? How would you answer the question? Answer it. Got to answer it to yourself first before you go to Him with it. This blind man heard some things. His knowledge came through hearing truth and reality about Jesus of Nazareth. Listen, truth comes from this book and through preaching. It comes to our ears. And you hear it. And then suddenly, guess what happens? There's this amazing phenomena that happens. Truth comes to your ears, you begin to hear it, and then suddenly your spiritual eyes pop open. Your ears unpopped your eyes, and you see truth because you heard it. How shall they believe unless they hear? Right? Romans 10 also. Therefore, how beautiful are the feet who carry the good news to those who haven't heard and need to hear, and only when they hear will their eyes be open to see the glory of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Hearing is what is necessary to gain spiritual sight. Bartimaeus' ears were the vehicle that God would use to give him sight to his blinded eyes. Truth comes not by observation outwardly. It comes through knowledge of the gospel communicated to our ears. The Bible here says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that changed everything. Changed absolutely everything. So he was a blind man. Have all of us here today seen our blindness? Or do you think, I'm okay. I'm not that bad. You know, I'm as good as others are. Then you're still in your blindness and you're still in your sin. Have you seen your blindness? And have you seen your place as nothing but a beggar before God? Blessed are the poverty-stricken in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Have you become blind that you can see now? Have you become a beggar that you can receive the riches of the mercies and the grace and the cleansing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're going to see several other realities about Bartimaeus next time. His knowledge, his opportunity. You know, he had one opportunity. Think about it. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to be crucified. He's not coming back to Jericho. This is it for Bartimaeus. One shot. We'll see his opportunity. We'll see his call from Christ, his response, his determination, his faith, and his sight. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Just think, when Bartimaeus' sight came to him and his eyes were perfect, think how Jesus felt right then for him, and think how Bartimaeus felt. Jesus said to him, go your way. And the Bible says Bartimaeus followed him in the way. Those whom Christ opens their eyes and heals their blindness and gives them spiritual sight, they see glories in Him and they then are following Him in the way. Is that you? Or do you sit still by the roadside as a blind beggar? Christ says, here I am. Come. Come. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You this morning for this man, Bartimaeus, for this experience, his encounter, for this marvelous miracle of grace, that the blind see. Thank You, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to open the eyes of the blind, both physically and spiritually. Lord, no one will come to know You who doesn't become blind, that they might see. So today, would You work that grace and that miracle of touching blinded eyes Lord, cause each of us to truly know our plight and our condition, that we have never been anything more than a blind beggar sitting by the roadside in need of a Savior who can heal us. Thank You so much, dear Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.